Thank you, Jesus. Okay, blessed are the Lord. Look at one more person and say, man, you are so blessed. Get that revelation. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Everybody say, I'm blessed. Well, I have something I want to share with you tonight. So get your Bibles out. Go to Luke chapter 8. I got a word fresh off the throne. And if you grab hold of it tonight, it'll change your life. In my life, every time in life that I came across anything that seemed, you know, to not understand it or not be able to grasp really what God was saying, I always just said, just put it on the back burner. You know, I just set it kind of on the back of the stove and just, you know, let it simmer back there until I can finally one day come to the place where I can have the revelation to understand it. And today I kind of got something off the back burner. And I want to share this with you. And I think it applies to all of us. But Luke chapter 8, verse 22, I want to pick up on the story that I used on Sunday. It says, now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples. And he said to them, let's go cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out. And as he sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came up down the lake. And they were filled with waves. And they were all in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him and said, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose, he rebuked the wind, the raging waters, and it ceased, and there was a calm. Everybody say there's a calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid to marvel, and saying to one another, who can this be that commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him? Like I was talking about Sunday, these fishermen were trained fishermen. They knew how to operate a boat. They knew they'd been out on the lake before. They understood this. They understood going across the water. They understood storms. They understood all this. And if these guys thought they were going to sink, it's pretty much a sure fact they were going down. At all odds, looked like it, okay? They weren't just panicking. They weren't just having a panic attack because they didn't know what they were doing. They knew what they were doing, right? And so, obviously, it's a pretty serious matter. Your boat's going to sink in the middle of the lake. And so, you may be in a place in your life that you feel like your boat may be going to sink in the middle of the lake. You may feel like there's a storm on the lake. You may feel like there's all kinds of problems, all kinds of situations, all kinds of things. Oh, God, how could you get me out of this? And you're basing it all upon the best knowledge that you have. There's nothing wrong with that. Hear what I'm saying? You're basing it upon your human knowledge, whatever you've gained in your life experience or whatever anybody else has seen, whatever anybody else has told you, however you've been educated, however you've been, you know, brought up, whatever. You're basing everything upon this situation looks like it's going to go this way. Are you with me? You're not a sinner for doing that. You're not a bad person for doing that. That's human nature, right? But Jesus steps up. And I don't know if he was, you know, I don't like to get woke up. I mean, we wake up in the morning, my wife and I could not be more different. My wife wakes up in the morning singing. I wake up in the morning, I don't want to talk, just give me a cup of coffee, just want to read my Bible, don't want to have no discussion, it takes me about an hour to get functioning, and then I'm ready to go. I don't wake up singing, okay? And so somebody wake me up from a sleep, I'm probably not going to be too happy anyway. So maybe Jesus was a little snippy with them. I mean, it's a pretty sharp rebuke, right? Where's your faith? And all of those guys have got to thought, I was not trained to rebuke the storm. Nobody in my life told me I was supposed to stand up and rebuke the wind and the sea. Man, I just got a revelation from that. Whew. Man, that's what's wrong with the church today. The church today is going through, I'm talking about the body of Christ today, is going through all this stuff, and they're training people also totally wrong, that when the storms rise up in their life, they don't know, nobody's ever told them they're supposed to stand up and rebuke the storm. So you really can't fault them. You got to fault the preachers. It's always the preacher's fault. So I'm telling you, because this preacher's not going to be like everybody else, I'm telling you, there's another way to live besides doing what we just know in the natural. I'm telling you, there's another way to live. And it's a way to live by what the Word of God says. It's a way to live by the Spirit. It's a way to live by the supernatural power of God. I was talking to Lex this afternoon. He said that he was reading over that scripture again, John 14:12. John 14:12 says that Jesus said, the works that you do, the works that I do, you're going to do, and greater works that you do. How could he say that if he didn't mean and expect us to rebuke storms? I mean, he's crazy. He can't say that and then not mean that we could be operating like that. But nobody is. The only places I've ever seen earth-shattering miracles is in foreign countries. And I'll be honest with you, I long to go back to foreign countries and preach like I used to. Because, man, I saw miracles. I saw blind eyes open. I saw legs grow. I saw the wildest stuff I'd ever seen in my life. Why? Because people were desperate. People have no option. There is no doctor. There is no, you know, great hospitals. There are no insurance that's going to get them into some hospital, even if they could have a hospital. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing that's there. They're going to die. Folks, when you're faced with you're going to die or you're going to believe God, you get to believe in God really quick. But we're so Americanized and we're so comforted and we've got all the comforts that we need, and we've got everything that we need, and everything is probably in a pill bottle in there. All right? Now, like I've always said, man, if you ain't getting better, you better take a pill. Stay alive at least until you can believe God. You with me? All right. So, we've got to retrain ourselves. And we've got to retrain ourselves to not be sight and sound oriented, but to be word and faith oriented. We've got to be able to look at the storms of life, excuse me, and say, I'm blessed. It's impossible for God to lie. The world would cease to operate if God lied to me. And he said, I'm blessed, and that all of heaven is backing me up, and all the promises of God are yes and amen to me, and everything is mine. So I see the storm. I hear the storm. I see what it's doing. I see what it could outcome could be. I see what could be taking place. But the Word says this, and I'm going to believe the Word, so I'm going to rebuke the storm. Doesn't make any rational sense to you? Doesn't make any natural sense to you? People around you may say you're crazy, you're goofy, what is wrong with you? But that is, folks, is what we're called to do. Now, let me show you this. Go to Luke chapter 12. And I'll tell you what I took off the back burner. Luke 12:22. Very familiar passage of Scripture. We've read this thing. But you got to understand something. When my wife and I, when we got saved and we started walking with Jesus, we had no knowledge. Okay? We had some church tradition, but we had no knowledge of what the Word of God said. And we went from our roots that we had of just organized church into full-blown Pentecostal Holy Ghost. So I made a leap, just boom. And so the problem was, is that when I made the leap and got into full-blown Holy Ghost, I didn't really know what I was doing, so I was like a kid with a machine gun. You know, I was kind of dangerous. And I began to gather knowledge based upon people rather than the Word. Because I just was seeing that minister and how he operated, and that minister how he operated, and that minister how he operated, and that person how they operated. And then I began to, oh, well, this must be the way it works and he operates. So I got my information I gathered information just like I did from my surroundings and what I could see, but I just was over here in this other Pentecostal field. Am I making sense? My very first ever experience in a Pentecostal environment was my blessing mother and father-in-law took Laura and I with Nancy and Bud Thompson over to Hondo, Pastor Charles Slinz's church at the time, and we're going to take us, and it was my very first Holy Ghost meeting. All of us were just, fresh saved. Still wet. We loved Jesus, but, you know, and we knew we wanted more, but, we were still dripping wet with just getting saved. We just came out of the birth canal being born again. So we go to this meeting. First thing I noticed when we went into the church, I was nervous. And we went into the church. We sit down. The first thing I do is I scan across the church and I look at everything, and there's only four men in the church: Bill, Bud, me, and the pastor. No, there was five. There was a piano player. There was a piano player. There was a man. There's five. Five men, and the rest must have been, 40 or 50, and they're all women. So I'm thinking, weird church, man. Well, we didn't know it was a women's meeting. Okay. So, like all good cowboys, we were all fighting for the end chairs, And somehow I got stuck not on the end. Bud and Bill beat me out of the end chairs, and I got stuck in the middle. And the music got to play, and everybody got to whooping and hollering, and the next thing you know, everybody was praying in tongues. I wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit. I wasn't speaking in tongues. I didn't know nothing about nothing. Everybody's praying in tongues. Piano player's beating it out on the piano. It's getting wild. Tambourine's coming out. Everybody's a hooping and a hollering and a jumping and a rolling and a flopping and a flipping. And I'm thinking, my God in heaven. All I could think of, literally, because I reverted back to my natural, what I knew, I said, I'm going to have to hit somebody in here. We're not going to get out of this easy. We're going to have to fight for the door. This is wild. And I said, I'm not much for hitting a woman, but, my God, I don't know if we're going to get out of this place. And so I'm getting more nervous and more nervous. I'm not even thinking about Jesus. I'm just thinking about how am I going to get out of this church, all right? And about that time, the piano player stops playing, and the church had a center column, and he goes up, and he was a big old boy, and he grabs the center column, and he starts just shaking and praying over the center column of this church. And I was like, sweet Jesus, is that thing? If I see any mortar crack, I'm out of here, man. I don't know what this dude's up to, what he's on. But, man, I'm telling you what, I've been in barroom fights that seem like they're more organized than this, So, before the preacher could say amen, boy, I figured out I could push my chair out of the way. They weren't connected, and I could get in that next row and get out of there. Man, I beat it to the car, left them. Man, I was out. Boy, I was out to the car, jumped in the car with my wife and locked the doors. Honestly. And I began to laugh. I laughed, got tears in my eyes. I was rolling laughing. And we were both laughing. And then in a minute, we looked at each other, and I said, man, I don't know what was real or not, but I know that my heart did beat for Jesus, and I know I want everything he's got. And if that's what it takes, then, I don't know. I guess we'll go there. But I'm hungry for Jesus. You with me? Okay. From all of that, then see, we began to develop who we are in our lives. But I got something here I want to show you. Verse 22 says, then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and your body and what you will put on. Oh my goodness, I read that scripture so many times from that Pentecostal meeting till today and still sitting there saying, Lord, I mean, I was broke. We were broke. We were poor. We didn't have any money. We couldn't make it. We couldn't pay bills. We couldn't eat. Literally did not have money to buy food. And I was sitting here saying, Lord, I don't understand this. You said, take no thought, but how can I not take thought? I got to have some money to pay some bills. How can I not have that in the forefront of my mind? I got to have money. There's no other way. Lord, we got to have cash. I got to get work. I got to get, you know, I mean, this was the 80s and people were broken. I was broken. And that's all that I could think about. How am I going to get my kids to school? Then Joseph needs a pair of shoes, you know, I mean, or whatever, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, there's nothing. I was consumed because I was broke. I was consumed with that, looking at that scripture saying, Lord, I don't understand. You said, don't worry about life, but how in the world could I not worry about life? It's consuming me. And so I'd pray. You said, don't take no thought for your life. But Lord, I can't. I'm praying, and even praying, I'm asking you to change my life. All my prayers are about, Lord, I need finances. Lord, open up this or you know, I need that. Or Lord, I'm sorry, but I this is before me. And so then it goes on. It says life. Everybody say life. It's more than food. And the body is more than clothing. Life is more than just food. Listen to me. You've got to get this concept tonight. Life is not about earning an income and existing on this earth. It's not. Goes on, he says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouses nor barns, and that God feeds them, how much more value are you than the birds? And I would sit there and say, God, I understand you're saying that. And I'm looking outside and I'm seeing the cardinal sitting out there in the tree and you fed him and I understand that. And he just flew around and got some stuff. But man, Lord, I can't just flip and fly around here. I mean, and hope that I pick up a scrap here that I don't understand what you're saying to me. And I'd go over this thing, then I'd get angry at God because I was walking through hard times, and I mean, I made $385.68 every week working as a carpenter, $5 an hour. And I could not miss an hour. In other words, I had to be at work at 8. I had to quit at 5. I had to get that $385.68 home because that's what I knew we were going to be living on. And I had to get it there. And I was consumed that had to be there. I had to be at work early. My truck couldn't break down. I couldn't afford a part. I couldn't buy a tire. If it wouldn't have been for Bill keeping me supplied and everybody else's old tires here in Utopia and batteries, I wouldn't have made it. I can still remember Bill calling me up and saying, man, I got a deal. Guy came in today and we put 4 new tires on him. His tires still have some tread left on it. Come on down here. And man, I got a whole set. They all match. I was so excited. It's the first time I'd ever had a matching set of tires on my truck. Because I'd run a BF Goodrich up here and a Michelin over there and a Cooper over here and whatever just to keep the thing going down the road because I had to get to work. You're consumed by it. Listen, so I'm telling that story about finances, but you can be consumed about your life, your relationships. You can be consumed about your children and what's going on with them. You can be consumed about trying to have fun and enjoy life. You can be consumed about this isn't going right or that ain't going right. And it can be on the forefront, and that's what fits into that scripture. And then he said, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you, Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And I'm like, yeah, Lord, you got pretty flowers out there, but I don't know what you're saying because it seems to me I either have to have money to buy something or somebody has to give it to me. I don't see how else it can come because that's all I had within my rational thinking. Y'all with me? How else could it happen? It can't just appear. Okay. Then he says, if God so clothe the grass which is today and the field tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And I was like, Lord, I want to have faith. I want to believe you, but I don't understand how it can function. For do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Don't be worried. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows you have need of these things. So I'm like, well, God, if you know I have need of these things, then why aren't you doing something? And I would find myself angry at God because I'm like, Lord, I'm trying with all of my heart to serve you with everything I can, but I mean, I really need you to pitch me a bone here. I need something. Verse 31. Seek, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. And I'd say, okay, Lord, what does that mean? I go to church every Sunday? I mean, I just read your Bible? How do I seek the kingdom of God? How do I walk and seek you? How do I seek the kingdom? I got a definition here. But seek the kingdom of God. The word kingdom there, it's the word basilia. And it means royal power or kingship, dominion or rule. That's what it says in the book. I'm reading the definition here. Not to be confused with an actual kingdom, but rather the right or authority to rule over a kingdom. And what I realized was, is when I was seeking the king, when he said to me, seek the kingdom of God, what he was saying to me is rule your kingdom. I wasn't ruling the kingdom. I was asking him to rule my kingdom. I was never, in my prayer, I was always saying, Jesus, I need you to do this for me. Jesus, I need you to get this. I was never speaking to the storms of my life. I was never standing there saying, Father, I just declare, according to Hebrews chapter 6, I am blessed. You said I am blessed. So I call money in from the north, the south, the east, and the west into my hands. I never prayed that prayer. I didn't know. Nobody told me. Call money in. Nobody ever told me to take the $385.65 that I was getting that week and ask God to tell me who to bless on Monday so I could have double that amount by Friday. Because there's no way in my life I could understand how I could give and I would receive. I never operated in the kingdom principles. I love Jesus. I wanted to know, but no one had ever taught me the kingdom principles of ruling my own life. I'd allowed things to happen, allowed things to take place, allowed thoughts to come into my mind, allowed to be worried, allowed myself to be anxious, allowed myself all these things to happen to my life because that's what normal people do. You don't have any money, you work hard, and you worry. Am I right? Not to speak to storms. And somewhere in all the excitement, man, I was excited about Jesus and praising him and feeling his presence and praying in tongues and hooping and hollering, but I was never really at the point to where I was actually operating in the kingdom principles and ruling and having dominion over my life. What's interesting about that word is another, it says the royal power of Jesus as the triumphant Messiah. The royal power and dignity conferred on Christians in the Messiah's kingdom. When he says seek the kingdom of God, what he's saying is seek your royal authority and power of God that's yours and use it. What's been given to you. If you're not using it, and you're just staying over here worried and anxious and walking in what your mind says, then you're not going to walk in victory. Interesting enough, there's what that word basileus comes from, a root word. Well, the root word is basileus. And it means the leader of people, the prince, the commander, lord of the land. That's what the root comes from. So it goes back, you know, are you master of your kingdom? Are you the lord of your land? And I believe Christendom, the body of Christ, has taught people that we're just here on earth and that we're just asking Jesus to do something for us and hoping that he'll flake off from the throne, a little power and a little anointing may fall so that we get some of the crumbs, when really he's like, no, I put you in charge of your life. You're supposed to be standing up, walking in the authority that I gave you over your life, speaking to the storms and saying, peace, be still, calm down. In faith, right? In faith, in the authority that he's given you as master of your kingdom, lord of your kingdom. And so why don't we see more things happen? Well, I got to ask you. What are you doing? Are you taking dominion? Are you calling things in? Are you calling things that be not as though they are? Are you looking at the situations and the problems in life and you're going to worry, you're going to try to deal with them and worry about them as long as you can, and then when you can't, you finally get so exhausted you can't take it anymore, you finally then give it to Jesus? And then did you hear what I just said? You just, brother, you just need to give it to Jesus. No. That's not right. You need to take authority over your kingdom. He said, no, Jesus has equipped me. Lord, show me how to wield my sword. Lord, show me. I mean, a better prayer would be, Father, I'm faced with an obstacle here. Okay, show me, God, how in your word that I'm supposed to defeat this mountain. Lord, you show me how I am supposed to walk in the Spirit so that the mountain is moved, the storm is calm, whatever takes place, whatever needs to take place, is going to take place. That would be more in line and correct in what God called us to do by the Word than it would be to just ask Jesus and pray and say, Lord, if you can find it within your heart to do this, or Lord, if you can, you know, please move this or do that. I'm telling you, folks, I'd rather get to heaven and Jesus walk up to me and say, you're believing me for way too much, than to get to heaven and Jesus say, why didn't you ask me? Why would he say, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you? Why would he tell us things like that? Why would he say that there's more, you're going to do the same things I'm doing and more? Why would he say those things if they weren't true? And we can't just read it and say, the Pentecostals just get a little excited and, you know, they're just pulling out of text. How are you going to pull it out of text? It's like, I'm telling you, and I can only say these words out of my mouth, but you would have had to have been standing there with me in Romania when they brought that child to me that had never walked. And they felt his legs. And I didn't actually feel it. Dr. Brassfield then, he said, feel his legs. And I'm like, I don't want to feel his legs. And he's like, feel his legs. And I felt like they were just like noodles, just mush. And they said, he's never walked before. And inside of me, there was just no, it was just helplessness. There was like, there's nothing I can do for this kid. I have no power. But I already seen a blind lady's eyes open up. I already seen a girl's leg grow. So I welled up. Faith. And said, well, I don't know. And before I could even pray it, I said, Jesus, heal this child. Before I could even get a good, really Holy Ghost Pentecostal prayer out of my mouth, you know, lining up, throwing some word and spit flying and, you know, I mean, really feeling like I did something. Before I could even get it, Dr. Brasco said, put him down, let him run. Put that kid down, he just took off running. And I was like, it's the only time in life I've ever been totally dumbfounded. I just stood there going. What I'm saying is, shouldn't that not be everything in our life? The storm comes up in our life. And we speak to the storm and the storm subsides and it calms down and you're like. And then the next time you're like. Next time you're like, don't mess with me again. Because you're growing every time and your faith is getting stronger. You can never take that away from me. You could bring me, you know, another situation like that, and I've seen it. It's in me. So, you know, the next time it's going to be easier. You follow what I'm saying? And all I'm saying to you tonight is, when I see that scripture and realize that's what was wrong with my faith in those days. I was waiting for Jesus to do something when he said to me, I've already given you authority and power to rule your kingdom, so start ruling it by my word. Now, you know, let's go on the other side. You can get crazy and you can get out there and praying and speaking and believing things that, you know, trying to change people's free will and doing all kinds of other stuff like that. And, you know, you're not going to get any results. That's the one thing that's good about God. You don't get any results when you're off. You know, thank God, goodness that everything that we say doesn't happen or we'd be in some real trouble. But I'm trying to tell you tonight, quit worrying. Quit being anxious. Take control of your kingdom. Be Lord over it. Be Lord over your kingdom. Stand up. Speak to the storms. Do what? I know it's odd. It was odd for the disciples. It's odd for you. But that's the way Jesus works. That's the kingdom of God. Storms have to subside. And I want to tell you what, I can guarantee you, because I know it's right. I know the word's right. Do not fear, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasures to give you the kingdom. It's your Father's good pleasures. It's the Father's pleasure to see you operate in faith and walk in the power of the supernatural. He likes it. God does not operate like we do. So don't wait till you're so frustrated, so undone, that you have to turn to God in prayer. You know, I don't know how to tell you for every situation in your life. I mean, if you're bailing water now and the boat's sinking, you might want to stop and speak to the storm. Right? And you may have to keep bailing until you really mean it. You know, don't just stop bailing and sink and drown. Is that enough wisdom there, you know? I mean, I go to work every day and I expect God to bless me. I don't just sit at home on the couch and say, Lord, like one of the birds, just feed me. I go through the motions. Right? But I know one thing, it shouldn't be worry. Shouldn't be anxiety. Should be peace and calm. Amen? So is that good? Last verse, 34, says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what happens is when you know that this is right, and you start walking in this, you know that that's your biggest treasure. And your heart changes. You see what I'm saying? That's your treasure. It's your relationship with Him. Comes your biggest treasure. You can't take that from me. You can't take my relationship from God, no matter what. That's your greatest treasure you got. And so that's where your treasure is going to be. That's where your heart's going to be also. Amen? So start rebuking some storms. Start speaking to some things in life. If you don't know exactly what you're supposed to do about your situation, then you need to pray. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to show you. You need to get your Bible out and start reading until He tells you. Till you see it. You may find out that first thing to stop that storm is you needed to forgive somebody. Maybe the first thing to stop the storm was for you to keep your mouth shut and quit saying something. You're going to have to find the Holy Ghost on that, right? I mean, I've heard the Holy Ghost talk to me before and tell me, Robert, you need to be quiet. Close your lips and things will change. Amen? Amen. Well, look at that person beside you again one more time and say, yeah, you're blessed. Amen. Well, let's take up our offering. If you need an offering envelope, I'll get you one. What's Sunday? Fourth Sunday? Kids plays? Well, he's coming next Wednesday, but he's also coming December. Yeah, so put him off to December. Our checks are dollars. Well, I just declare, Lord, right now, from the north, the south, the east, and the west, all the dollars come in to take care of everything right there. We speak to the storm, Lord. Not worried about a thing, Lord. You are not a cheap God. You are an extravagant God. So I thank you that you said, Lord, according to Ephesians 3:20, that you do exceedingly abundant beyond we even think or ask, according to the power of God that works where? On the inside of us. So I just declare tonight, Lord God, over each and every person, everybody giving their offerings, everybody that's going through this, I just declare there's an abundance because you do exceedingly abundant what we can think or ask. And so, Lord, I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.